I want to welcome back one of our law enforcement experts. Gary McNamara is here. Gary oversees the... He's got a lot of jobs over at Sacred Heart University, but he oversees security, government affairs over there. He also was the former chief of police in Fairfield, and he's one of our law enforcement experts on the morning show. He sits on a lot of panels here in Connecticut looking at law enforcement. And last week, he actually had this opportunity of attending a national conference down south, and it had to do with officer wellness. So I was really excited to hear about what came out of this conference. And so Gary is back this morning with all the details. Hey, Gary, how are you?
I am well, Melissa. Louisville was a good experience. Unfortunately, I came back with a little bit of a cough. So I don't have a cough button.
I was going to say, you're hiding it very well. So kudos to
you. I'm doing well. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice job. Yeah, I would never know. So there you go. I mean, I tell you, this guy, he's got so many skills, even hiding a cough. It's incredible.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us, first of all, Gary, what this conference was about. I know officer wellness, but give us a little bit more detail.
Well, there's two components of it, Melissa. This was the national conference from the International Association of Chiefs of Police. So that represents law enforcement in the country and also around the world. So it was a two-day conference on that. So there's two components to it. One is that two-day conference. But in addition to that, I was fortunate enough to be invited to a pre-meeting panel of about 12, a variety of different people, from family members, survivors, and police officers who unfortunately came to the brink of potential suicide, but fortunately found help. So two components to it. But the bottom line is that the conversation on officer wellness is an ongoing topic now. And that's the important component of it. We think of the safety of officers in a situation where they may be harmed by an armed subject or physically hurt. We oftentimes don't think of the emotional wellness and the hurt that they're getting emotionally. That really is it's a strong topic, and it's an important topic to continue to have.
Mm-hmm. I mean, give us an idea, Gary. As I mentioned, you were the former chief of police in Fairfield, so you saw firsthand what was happening even in your own department, and you've been seeing what's gone on with police, especially in recent years. Talk about some of the emotion and sort of, I think what's very important that people may not think about is how difficult it is for police officers to share if they're having trouble or difficulty overcoming trauma, maybe on the job or something that they've been involved with, why they can't just speak up about it, because it does put them at risk of continuing with their jobs.
Well, that's exactly it. It's the culture. The culture is that, you know, law enforcement has that culture that you are strong, that you can handle any problem, and you should never show weakness. And the problem with that is that we're experiencing the grief of others, and you want to share in their grief. You don't want to absorb their grief. And the problem is that officers, we all do it. We tend to absorb grief of others. And so we're, in our efforts to help people, we're absorbing some of that grief. But over time, if you don't seek help, or if you don't feel that you're comfortable acknowledging that or saying, hey, or cry, it's that culture of you cannot show vulnerability as a police officer. And that's the culture that we've been trying to change for years, because you're spot on. That's the problem. That the culture is that you don't show weakness, that we are strong, we're always strong, we'll address anything and we'll move on. Well, we know that that's not the case. There's post-traumatic stress. There's other issues that go on that can lead to poor decisions of police officers, and that's really the problem.
Well, and another thing, Gary, that we've certainly noticed in the past 4 years is there's a real focus on how police handle crimes, how police are involved in officer-involved shootings, for example, here and across the country. And I would imagine if you've got an officer who, let's just say, has PTSD or is dealing with depression, I would think that that's not a great look. I would think, like, publicly, that's what a lot of officers would be worried about is, hey, if I'm struggling with something, now all of a sudden that puts a target on my back, and am I really up to the task of being an effective police officer? Is that something that they worry about as well?
Well, they do, but they worry about coming forward, too.
Right.
Think about it. If I came forward and said that I'm not feeling good and I'm worried emotionally, they worry about their job. They worry about losing their job. And that's the culture we're trying to change. And it's important to the community as well, because well officers, officers who are who feel well, will serve well. And that's the key, is that, that we want to make sure as a community we're protecting our officers, because at a time when we need them, we want to make sure that they're emotionally well. And if you're fearful of coming forward because you're going to lose your job, and there's a stigma that I've come forward and they're going to take my badge, take my gun, and I'm never going to be able to support my family, that is a problem. And there's statistics. I mean, it's an ongoing problem. I mean, we had four officers in Suffolk County in the last, in February, four officers in Suffolk County killed themselves.
I didn't know that.
And you don't really hear about it. Yeah. And then in L.A., and this is the L.A. thing I just heard about when I was out there. In L.A. Sheriff's Department, four officers in L.A. did the same thing in the last maybe month. So it's an ongoing problem. More officers kill themselves generally each year than are killed by the hands of others.
Wow.
So it's a significant problem. The state of Connecticut, right after Sandy Hook, I was fortunate to be one of the chiefs that worked together to have a standing committee on officer wellness. We have a Serve Well, Be Well program designed to get people from hire to retire and beyond emotionally well. And so the conversations are ongoing. But some of the little information and the people that I was around in at that table in Louisville, tremendous. Family members from national incidents from in Washington, D.C. that you hear about, well, officers killed themselves. Well, there was family members there who shared their experiences. You know, partners of officers that took their own lives in different parts of the country. It's a heart-wrenching problem, and that's just scratching the surface of those that come forward. What we're really concerned about are those that don't come forward.
We have Gary McNamara on the show, one of our law enforcement experts. He is the Chief and Executive Director of Public Safety and Government Affairs at Sacred Heart University, also the former Chief of Police in Fairfield. And recently he was at a national conference and they were looking at officer wellness. And I wanted to do kind of a two-part question here, Gary. You started to scratch the surface on something that Connecticut rolled out after Sandy Hook, knowing all the first responders who were absolutely going to have some type of trauma or PTSD responding to the scene of the Newtown shooting. What exactly does Connecticut do to make sure our officers, their wellness is in check, and that we are essentially not judging them if they're struggling after responding to a scene like a Sandy Hook or a car crash or something of that effect?
Well, there's a couple things. They've changed legislation. So officers every 5 years are supposed to go for at least a 45-minute wellness check. So that's changed. But more importantly is our Serve Well, Be Well program. And that's designed to get police departments, leadership in law enforcement to understand the issues, to embrace solutions, and then send that message to the officers that their emotional wellness is top of mind for them. So that, I think, is one of the big components. But legislation is important so that officers understand that they have to go for counseling, because they won't unless they're told to. And the Serve Well, Be Well program, it doesn't mandate, but it kind of says departments should have a peer-to-peer support group. In other words, peers who have experienced what police officers experience. And that's one of the most crucial parts of officer wellness, is other officers who have gone through similar situations, who can come to a scene or talk to officers and not say that I know what you're going through, but share their experiences with what they went through. Because our minds change. Our minds, when we respond to calls, our minds are protecting ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll respond. We want to be physically safe. But at the same time, what we see and how we react to the trauma that we see, our brain is protecting ourselves. It's that fight or flight. We're trying to protect ourselves. So we put it away because we have to go to another call.
Right.
You know, fatal accident. You got to go to another call. So what we want to do is open up the discussion with other officers who have experienced trauma, who can share how they found their way out of that trauma.
Is Connecticut's model of handling that kind of trauma for our officers, for our first responders, is that something that came up in this national conference, or what are some other solutions that were on the table?
So I had discussions about what we do in Connecticut at that roundtable. And one of the biggest things that I think we've discussed. First of all, peer-to-peer will always be a big discussion. But what I didn't realize was what Louisville Metro police are doing. After the Breonna Taylor riots, what we don't think about is that all the officers in that department work in 12-hour days for 100 days. No vacation, 12-hour days. And what they found was that officers obviously are absorbing a lot of trauma. And then at the same time, they can't carry on their day-to-day activities. They found they couldn't go to the gym to work out because they felt uncomfortable dealing with the community. So the Metro really formed a wellness committee. They have a building, they have counseling, they have meditation rooms and meditation pods that officers could go to. So while Connecticut at the time of Sandy Hook, I think, was leading the charge, at least in some areas, on our Serve Well, Be Well program, the great news is that, you know, there's plenty of room in the pool. The best ideas are the ones that are continued to be thought of and implemented. So this conference allowed us to all discuss what others are doing. As long as you're doing something, in other words, it's really important. So peer-to-peer was good. Support of families is important. And the ongoing wellness of officers as it relates to what we all suffer with, potentially alcoholism, abuse of alcohol, emotional withdrawal from our family and friends, all those other things that we can do to support our officers and their families through their careers is really what we want to focus on.
I also love that idea of having facilities specifically for, you know, police, and you could certainly, you know, expand that to military. Like immediately my brain, Gary, went to the center that hopefully is going to break ground later this spring in Trumbull. That's like a veterans and first responder center. I know that's really supposed to be kind of for training and for meetings and things like that. But if that could be utilized as a place for counseling services, or if we could create that kind of space where you can go to the gym where you know you're only going to run into other officers who would also understand what you're going through. If you feel like you need to withdraw, but you need to figure out to still keep on some kind of schedule, but it keeps you out of the public eye while you're trying to figure out that middle ground, if that makes sense. Like, I love that idea. I don't know if we have places like that in Connecticut as of right now, but that's definitely, like, to me, that sounds very attractive. I'm not a cop, but I would think sometimes you're very overwhelmed with it and you don't really think other people understand it, but maybe other people in your field would. So when you go to the gym, you don't have to feel so like you're adding on an extra job, which is hiding this layer of this is what I do professionally. I'm managing this. I don't want to talk to anybody at the gym. You know what I'm saying? I think having
that safe place
for them to help them also deal with the trauma without handling the public, that sounds really effective. Do we have that here?
Yeah. Well, we have some retreats, and we have some agencies that do retreats.
Okay.
But what I saw in Louisville, we don't. And, you know, there's corporate donations of gym. It was just it was really sending the message that, boy, they dealt with a lot.
Yeah.
And they understand. Yeah, it was, you know, Melissa, it's funny because, it's not funny, but, you know, I was 22 years old when I became a cop. And they teach you how to be physically, how to train physically, how to protect yourself, how to protect others, and how to be strong. But we don't spend a lot of time really talking to officers, young officers, about this is what you're going to go through. This is what you're going to see.
Right.
And this is what's going to happen to you emotionally. And this is what we want to take you through.
You need like mental and emotional strength, not just physical strength. Yeah.
You absolutely
That's so true.
And to understand it's your body, that your brain is really controlling a lot of it, you know, the post-traumatic stress. And understanding that and having a lot of discussions to take them through that journey is one of the things that I really took away from it. We don't do a great job of that. I think we're getting better, but I think we really have to do that when officers come in to say, hey, you got to protect yourself. But by the way, when you go home at night after seeing trauma and death and tragedy, there's things that are going on, and this is how we're going to start to change that dialogue.
Yeah.
And the other key component, Melissa, is when we talk about emotional wellness, like right now you and I talking about it, it makes us more emotionally well when we continue to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I came away from this trip feeling emotionally a little better. Because I'm talking about it with others. We're talking about it. So the key in police departments and police academies, in our families, is to continue to talk about
normalize
what
the conversation.
See, what we suffer. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Gary McNamara, I think this is incredible insight. I appreciate that you went down there and were part of this discussion and that you could share it with us here on WACC. And like you said, keep the conversation going. So thank you so much.
Melissa, thanks for having the conversation and keeping all these conversations right at the forefront of where it needs to be. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you again, Gary McNamara, right here on WACC.